In little more than two decades, we've gone from a position of energy independence to one in which almost half the oil we use comes from foreign countries at prices that are going through the roof. The energy crisis is real. It is worldwide. It is a clear and present danger to our nation. These are facts, and we simply must face them. I will soon submit legislation to Congress calling for the creation of this nation's first solar bank, which will help us achieve the crucial goal of 20% of our energy coming from solar power by the year 2000.
Good morning, I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. We at Tree Huggers International have been actively advocating for the passage of Proposition 21 on this program for some time. Prop 21 is the California State Parks Access Pass, which would create a separate funding source for state parks and ensure California state parks remain open, maintained, and fully staffed for the citizens of the state. Now, there are, of course, other propositions on this year's California ballot, and one of the most important, which could have the most far-reaching effects on how California and the nation will move forward in combating global climate change, is Proposition 23. Prop 23 is intended to delay implementation of California's Innovative Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006, also known as Assembly Bill 32, or AB 32 for short, which would reduce greenhouse gas emissions in California to 1990 levels and establish a timetable to bring California into near compliance with the provisions of the 1997 Kyoto Protocol. Arguments submitted to the Secretary of State's office in favor of Proposition 23 say the measure would only suspend the implementation of the Clean Energy Law until unemployment levels in California decrease to less than 5.5% for 1 year, though the connection between unemployment and cleaning California's air is never made quite explicit. We at Tree Huggers International have reached out to two Texas oil companies behind the measure for clarification on this particular point. So far, we have not received any response. So here to talk with us about Proposition 23 and California's Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006 is Andrew Adams. Andrew is currently an organizer with the San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter of the Sierra Club. He previously spent time working for Green Corps, and Andrew was a recent graduate of the University of San Diego Law School. Andrew, welcome to Tree Huggers International. It is great to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And let's go back to 2006 when Governor Schwarzenegger signed AB 32 into law. What is the Global Warming Solutions Act? When is it supposed to kick in? And how will it make our air demonstrably cleaner from where it is now? Because they were talking about 1990 levels, correct?
The Global Warming Solutions Act would reverse all carbon emissions to 1990 levels by 2020. And it's actually begun already. They're already implementing it. They published the scoping plan on January 1st of 2009. The reporting rules kicked in on January 1st in 2008. What people are probably most familiar with is the cap and trade system. So it would set up the cap and trade system, which would provide for market-based reductions in carbon emissions rather than just a flat tax or some sort of regulatory fix, which would be a lot more heavy-handed and wouldn't rely on businesses just doing the right thing based on costs and demand. Yeah, so it was passed in 2006 by a bipartisan vote of both the Assembly and the State Senate, over 67% in the Assembly and close to that in the Senate. Governor Schwarzenegger signed it into law, and now he's one of the biggest supporters of the Global Warming Solutions Act, part of the green legacy that he's built in the state, and he wants to make sure that Prop 23 doesn't put that asunder.
So it's already in some ways kicking in.
It is. It's already, you're not seeing any of the fees assessed until next year. And that's going to be relying on Prop 26, which I'd also like to mention to your listeners today. It is already kicking in. The scoping plan is doing a lot of the measuring and kind of the early work that needs to go into making these reductions in the next 10 years. So AB 32 is already in play in California.
And it is using a cap and trade system to keep the air cleaner.
It is. It's using a cap and trade system overseen by the California Air Resources Board. And that is exactly the part that would be delayed under Proposition 23. And is also the part that's under threat from being funded by the fees under Proposition 26. The fees are probably going to come online here in about a year or so, and we'll see some of the reductions are actually already starting to happen now, and smarter companies are actually already making these sort of reductions now that the reporting has already kicked in, because they want to get credit for these early reductions. And Californians were actually, they were smart about how they set up the system, because the reductions that you're making now are not going to go unnoticed, and you're not going to not get credit for it.
Yeah, see, I've heard all these things over the years that cap and trade is somehow anti-business or bad for business, but it seems to be that is the most pro-business solution for doing this. In fact, a lot of businesses and corporations are really on board with this as being a great proactive way to reach these goals.
Right. And that's especially for the federal Global Warming Act that was going to come through Congress recently. Everyone was pretty much in agreement. Every single business group, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who is not really much of a friend to environmental actions, was behind this. They set a cap of X number of tons can be emitted every year. And then businesses will trade the right to tax. So then you're creating essentially good that is the right to pollute. And the reason companies like it is then they can buy and sell them as they're needed. And when reductions are cheaper than buying the credit to pollute, then it's a smarter idea to buy the reduction.
Yeah, they don't have to change that much from what they're doing now. It sounds more like it's a matter of juggling some paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. I think environmentalists also hope that it's a matter of setting up some reductions and implementing some new technologies. Mm-hmm. And that's easier than spending the money to buy these credits. But it's a pretty sharp system, and it matches well with the way that a lot of CEOs and COOs are already thinking right now. So it's a pretty good system, and it's one, like you said, that a lot of these regional groups like the REGI up in New England and the Western Climate Initiative are using this cap and trade system to create those reductions.
Now, you mentioned when this was passed in 2006, I mean, I recall this did have bipartisan support. It was signed by a Republican governor who is still very, very enthusiastic about this. So where has the disconnect happened over the last 4 years? Is there still not bipartisan support for this, at least in the legislature?
Any attempt to repeal the Global Warming Solutions Act that has been put forth in the California Assembly or the Senate has been rebuffed. There's still very strong support for it. The way the proposition system works in California was created in response to railroads controlling way too much of the political power in California. And so now if you get a certain number of signatures, you can get something on the ballot. And the way that has kind of transformed in the last 100 years since the proposition system is now allowed to amend the Constitution is that if you pay a certain number of dollars, you can collect enough signatures. And these are the people that are standing outside of Ralph's and Target and asking you if you care about jobs. Next thing you know, you sign something that says that you actually completely disregard California's Global Warming Solutions Act. So there's not really a strong connection there for what people thought they were signing and what came onto the ballot. So the way that worked is two Texas oil companies spent about $2 million to get Prop 23 on the ballot, and now they've raised almost $10 million to support it, 97% of which comes from oil interests, and 90% of that is from out-of-state interests. So,
say those numbers again. 97% comes from oil interests?
97% comes from oil interests. 90% of that is from out-of-state. And actually, 79% comes from these two Texas oil companies and some brothers that own refineries in California that stand to benefit quite strongly if Proposition 23 passes.
Well, we're going to talk about those brothers in a moment, but as far as these two Texas oil companies are concerned, have they ever been politically active before as corporations? And my guess is that it's easier for them and other corporations to do so now, since the Supreme Court essentially enabled corporate personhood with a rather landmark decision earlier this year.
It is very much easier for these companies to get involved. And the corporate personhood actually goes back a while and actually started out in California, of all places. But it was originally referenced, I think, about over 100 years ago, and then kind of let to lay fallow for about 50 years, and then came back into a Supreme Court decision. But these oil companies that are able to donate, like I said, 80% of over $8 million that Prop 23, yes, on Prop 23 forces have amassed, they're able to donate this because there's no sort of limits on what you can donate to an independent expenditure. And so the yes on 23 is an independent expenditure that does not endorse candidates or anything like that. Their sole purpose is to push 23. So it's a really easy route for these two companies and these brothers to get their money into something that's gonna benefit them personally. And it's not hard to connect the dots, you know, about where the money's coming from, where it's going to fund, and who's behind this.
But this really is a change in the fabric of how we do elections in this nation. I mean, this is not 2006 or 2008. This is a significant change. When's the last time we saw oil companies having this much ability to make a change in legislation in a state that they're not even based out of? Well, you have to go back in the history books for that.
Yeah, if I can take off my Sierra Club hat and put on my soon-to-be attorney hat, to be honest, I think the level of corporate donations to political campaigns hasn't been seen since before 1974, when we had Watergate and a lot of the good governance ideas that came in. And before then, supposedly, the Senate seats were up for grab. You know, they call it the Millionaires Club.
Sure.
These sort of propositions were able to go kind of fly under the radar and go unnoticed. But now, you know, after Citizens United, I think a lot of people should, and again, this is not as a Sierra Club representative, this is just my personal opinion, but people should really reconsider whether they believe money to be speech, which is one part of what Citizens United...
That's what the Supreme Court ruled. Felt.
Right, exactly. And also whether, you know, corporations, not just personhood, but whether they should have full rights of personhood, because there are varying stages of personhood that we've recognized in the past. And so to declare that you and I have as much right to speech, you have your own radio show, but... But for those of us without our own radio shows, you know, I mean, the speech, we don't have the same right to speech, you know, if you're a billionaire and you can throw down $140 million, say, on campaign ads.
It's a bigger budget than I've got. So where is the connection between jobs and the environment? Because they're talking about waiting until unemployment levels are below 5.5%. Back in the 90s, when everything was going just fine, any state was lucky to have 4% unemployment. 5.5% at a point where we are at, what, 12% in this state?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's obviously not particularly realistic, is it?
No. And that's really the most duplicative part of this proposition. It's part of the, you know, this. It's a false dichotomy that has been set up time and time again, and that every time somebody wants some sort of political favor for their company or their particular interest, you know, they always try and set up the jobs versus environment. And so, you know, anyone who's been paying attention, especially here in California, knows that this kind of BS argument has been totally written out of the history books. It's now kind of something that we look back on and kind of laugh, because in California, we're now the center of renewable green energy jobs. And so the same way Silicon Valley is turning out the energy sources for the next 100 years, they're figuring out electronic cars, they're building solar panels, wind rotors to be distributed all across the country. You know, anyone who's paying attention to that knows that in California, there is no jobs versus environment debate. It's really, the two things really go hand in hand.
If there's one state where that's going to work, where there is innovation for that, where there are renewable resources available, it would be California. We've got wind and we've got solar and everything else in between here.
Most definitely. And that's, you know, the Sierra Club is very much focused. I know a lot of your listeners are very concerned about preservation, and no one wants to see the deserts covered in solar panels. And the Sierra Club, our position on it is that no undisturbed land should be covered in solar panels, that there's plenty of disturbed desert land out there, as I'm sure you can attest to and your listeners. And that's exactly what they're looking at right now. That's the land that's for sale. Bakersfield area is just exploding on this. Like, old industrial areas are turning into solar farms. The idea of distributed generation is something that is very strong, I think, is a great idea for the years to come for California.
I completely agree, and I'm glad you mentioned Bakersfield and Kern County, because a lot of the Central Valley counties have been having difficulty with water, and a really efficient way to get some bang for your buck out of the property that you may own in the Central Valley is by using that for renewable energy, for solar farms.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And it's not even a choice, really, you know, one or the other. You can have both. You can set up wind turbines, you know, at your dairy farm, and I think that's very much the future. And the problem with Prop 23 is that it delays the California's work on it, which actually brings me back to one other point that I wanted to make about the question you asked. Proposition 23, they say, would repeal the Global Warming Solutions Act until unemployment gets below 5.5% for four consecutive quarters. 2 points about that. Number one, that's only happened 3 times in the last 40 years. So that's not something that kind of happens all the time. As anyone who's looking for a job right now knows, it's not like 5.5% unemployment is the norm. It's rather the exception. And it really only happens in times when the construction industry is booming and we're building a bunch of new houses. Number two, Proposition 23, the requirement that it be under 5.5% for four quarters is kind of misleading, and it's going to be involved in litigation if it does pass, because the question is whether those four quarters can be any consecutive quarters or whether that has to start on January 1st. So there's a potential that you could see four quarters in a row, but what you really would need would be 7 quarters in a row. So you'd start out on the second quarter of the year, and then you'd have to go all the way back around again. So there's going to be litigation around this, as there are a lot of propositions, but 23, we would see huge amounts of litigation trying to interpret exactly what it meant. It's just something that nobody wants to see more of that. I think this is rightfully going down, and a lot of people are seeing it for what it is, which is really just a giveaway to two Texas oil companies.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Helm, and we're joined in the studio today by Andrew Adams from the San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter of the Sierra Club. We're talking about Proposition 23 and the forces behind it and how the state of California will be affected if the Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006 is put on hold. And there's a lot of great resources on the web right now regarding Prop 23, including www.stopdirtyenergyprop.org. That's stopdirtyenergyprop.org. There's also a Sierra Club website dedicated to fighting Prop 23. That is standagainstprop23.com. standagainstprop23.com. We'll get all these websites up at the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. And of course, you can go to the website for the San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter of the Sierra Club at sandiego.sierraclub.org. That's sandiego.sierraclub.org. You know, Andrew, wouldn't oil companies already have the technology in place and the brains already on the payroll to begin innovating and benefiting from green jobs and climate solutions and working actively towards that? And there must be some great tax breaks already available for companies doing this work.
There are, absolutely. You know, you can see there's some oil companies that have come out against Prop 23, and there's some that have stayed neutral on it, and without really delving into their motivations in doing so, I think that's kind of a sign that people know that this is not really a good idea. The smart oil companies are really investing in these new systems, new solar panels are going to go in between window panes. You know, we're just going to drape cars and homes, and solar panels are going to be almost invisible. There's solar panels you can print out like newsprint. These are really the way of the future. And the smart energy companies, and if I might say for your listeners here in San Diego, Sempra and SDG&E have actually been very good on Prop 23. And they're really kind of one of those utilities that are on the forefront and really working towards these renewable sources. So in answer to your question, yes, the smart companies are moving that way, and that's really the way that I think we're going to see it go in the future.
Now that we're letting those two Texas oil companies off the hook, but there are some other players involved in trying to get Prop 23 passed here in California. That would be the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, rather rich. I believe they are the richest men in the nation behind Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. They are big supporters of the arts back east, but they're also known for funding fringe candidates. I think I'm being polite about that. And they recently donated a substantial sum of money to Prop 23, as you were talking about. Can you talk a little more about the Koch brothers' connection to Prop 23 and how would they benefit?
Well, I think, you know, anyone that's interested in this can see there was a pretty influential New Yorker article that came out on the Koch brothers, really went into what they're doing. These are the guys that are behind a lot of the kind of clever term for them is the AstroTurf. You know, these are the people that are paying for Americans for Prosperity. Some of these benign sounding groups and groups that really sound like they're doing good work, but are actively organizing and paying people like me, you know, on the complete opposite side to go out and pretend like there's some sort of groundswell of support for Proposition 23. They split their time between Kansas and Manhattan, New York, not Manhattan, Kansas. They've bankrolled Proposition 23 in addition to some of the kind of fake grassroots events that we're seeing out there that don't really just spring up on their own. They're not really they're not the traditional grassroots that you see. And so it sets a pretty bad precedent to have somebody like the Koch brothers to come into California and undo a lot of the progress that we've made. One thing we're really trying to get our message out there and just say, look, California's progress is not for sale. The work that we've done to stem global warming and to become a leader in green energy and renewable energy, this is not for sale. This is not something that you can spend $2 million, come in and undo all the work that we've done in the last 35 years.
You know, one of the components of analyzing these types of dilemmas is having empathy. What does the other person want? And unfortunately, we weren't able to get a comment from the two oil companies. If anyone knows a great way to get a hold of the Koch brothers, they're welcome to let me know. What do these oil companies fear? Why are they going to such trouble to, as you use the term, AstroTurf? What are they worried about?
This is going to be something that sounds pretty good to the rest of us, but doesn't sound good if you've got $200 million tied up in oil refineries. It's really the move away from an oil-based economy. And so making that switch to renewable energy, this is something that is going to hurt their bottom line and hurt them personally. Now, if you ask them, I'm sure they'd say that they have some sort of conservative ethos against government intervention and regulation. But, you know, it's not too much of a connection to switch that over and take a look at their bottom line and see what really they're worried about. The refineries that they have in Richmond and in Wilmington are going to become obsolete as we start getting our power from the sun and from the wind and, you know, God knows whatever other sources we're going to find in the next couple of years. I think this was most on display when the Society of Petroleum Refiners sent out an email a couple of weeks ago pleading for money from its members and saying that that Prop 23 and California is trying to make oil obsolete in the second 50 years of this century, which to me sounds pretty good. You know, I imagine most people thinking and listening would probably agree that finding a way to get rid of oil as the primary mover of our economy is a great thing. But, you know, if you're the National Petroleum Institute, you're pretty pissed off about that.
Sure. And you mentioned those refineries. Richmond is in the Bay Area. Wilmington is in the Los Angeles area.
Correct. Correct.
And, you know, if I can just take off my hat for a moment, because, you know, if you drive around on any of the freeways and you think about the volume of effort that goes to getting fuel for these vehicles, when there is fuel that is blasting down from the sun that we can easily access, the fact that we still, all these years later, go to such extraordinary lengths to destroy our environment and pollute our world simply to get this fuel when so much other fuel is so readily available and we have technology ready to go to access that, you really have to wonder, why in the world is anybody dragging their feet on this? Where is that disconnect? That disconnect comes from the status quo shoving back.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look, you know, at the history of the oil industry, especially in California, you know, they got a lot of subsidies as they were kind of an infant industry in the beginning of the 20th century. And then once they were fully functional and up on their own, they didn't need as many subsidies as they did. And so that's exactly what we're doing now with some of these renewable forms of energy is switching now and, you know, investing a lot of money. So California is the center of that and trying to make sure that we're not.
And 100 years ago, I mean, the only way to really fuel the society that we grew into was through oil.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many other options now.
Right, right. You look at, I mean, they used to off-gas natural gas and just burn it at oil refineries because they couldn't figure out how to use it. Now natural gas is one of the most useful forms. Probably most of your listeners use it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
One cool thing, so last night, we've been making these phone calls and calling these voters, and there was a guy who came in last night, and he just couldn't sit still. He was so angry about Prop 23. You know, he says, I was sitting on my sailboat. I've been using solar panels on my sailboat for 30 years now. I don't know what these guys are thinking. Like, you know, this is the stupidest thing that we're, you know, and this guy, he's been using the same solar panels on his boat for, like I said, 30 years. The fact that we have this technology and we're not exploiting it, it really makes me wonder. And I completely agree. And the status quo really is hard to buck. But kudos to California for taking the jump and doing it.
President Carter, 30 years ago, put in a solar-powered hot water heater. And then the solar panels got ripped up a couple of years later.
Yeah. You know? Well, they're going back on. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
350.org is going to get them back on there. It's a good sign, if nothing else.
We've gone from a position of energy independence to one in which almost half the oil we use comes from foreign countries at prices that are going through the roof. Our excessive dependence on OPEC has already taken a tremendous toll on our economy and our people. This intolerable dependence on foreign oil threatens our economic independence and the very security of our nation. I will soon submit legislation to Congress calling for the creation of this nation's first solar bank, which will help us achieve the crucial goal of 20% of our energy coming from solar power by the year 2000. It will be money well spent, unlike the billions of dollars that we ship to foreign countries to pay for foreign oil. These funds will be paid by Americans to Americans. These funds will go to fight, not to increase, inflation and unemployment. I'm proposing a bold conservation program to involve every state, county, and city, and every average American in our energy battle. This effort will permit you to build conservation into your homes and your lives. To further conserve energy, I'm proposing tonight an extra $10 billion over the next decade to strengthen our public transportation systems. And I'm asking you for your good and for your nation's security to take no unnecessary trips, to use carpools or public transportation whenever you can, to park your car one extra day per week, and to set your thermostats to save fuel. Every act of energy conservation like this is more than just common sense. I tell you, it is an act of patriotism.
Andrew, we're running out of time, but I do want to go over the connection between Proposition 23 and 26, which you alluded to earlier in the program, and I was wondering if you could briefly sort of tell us how they're kind of almost running interference for each other. They're kind of flanking each other.
Right. Again, and I'm taking off this as me as a person, just I'm talking to your listeners. Prop 26 would amend the California Constitution to make regulatory fees, make them as hard to pass as taxes. So they require a two-thirds vote, not the simple majority vote they take now. And this is a pretty misunderstood measure. A lot of people think it's better to have fees be harder to implement and make them as hard to implement as taxes. And that's kind of the guttural kind of response to this, is that there's too many fees in the world. But these are the fees that are assessed for spilling hazardous waste. These are the fees assessed for against tobacco companies to address the adverse health effects of cigarettes. These are the fees that are used for police protection in neighborhoods that are assessed against alcohol companies. The Legislative Analyst Office, which is a nonpartisan governmental analyst, said that this is going to cost over $1 billion a year almost immediately and multiple billions of dollars a year in the future. What this is not just making fees more difficult to implement this is taking away from the money that companies are charged when they pollute the environment or do some of the things I addressed earlier. But this is now would now get shifted to the taxpayer. So we'd be picking up the tab for their pollution or their somewhat dangerous product. In addition to that, this would also severely hamper the implementation of the California Global Warming Solutions Act, because the fees that would be addressed against carbon emitters would pay for the program. So Prop 23 is a bad idea, and I would also say that Prop 26 is equally a bad idea. There's a ton of resources out there on knowing 23, but one resource that I would recommend your listeners check out is climateprogress.org. That's climateprogress.org. It's from the Center for American Progress. They do a lot of work. They post Joe Rahm, who's one of the premier environmental bloggers, and they do a lot of research into debunking some of the myths that get put up there. So instead of buying into some of the fear tactics, check out that website. It's a great resource for these issues.
Andrew Adams from the San Diego and Imperial County chapters of the Sierra Club, very nice talking with you. Thank you for the education on Proposition 23 and Proposition 26. I'll go over all the websites again here in just a moment, and you can also find that information at treehuggersintl.com. Thank you again for your time and for the work that you are doing.
Thanks, Tommy.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. Thanks once again to Sierra Club organizer, Green Corps veteran, and recent law school graduate Andrew Adams. Andrew is currently an organizer with the San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter of the Sierra Club, and he's a Torero, a USD Law School grad. Congratulations again, and thank you again for your time today, Andrew. We spent a lot of time talking about Proposition 23 and Prop 26. For more information on the potential effects these propositions may have on the environmental health and role of corporate responsibility in the Golden State, here are some of the websites we were talking about. A good Sierra Club website is www.standingagainstprop23.org. That's standingagainstprop23.org. You can also try stopdirtyenergyprop.org. That's stopdirtyenergyprop.org. And the website Andrew mentioned a moment ago is climateprogress.org. That's climateprogress.org. You can learn more about the Sierra Club in your neighborhood by finding your local chapter at www.sierraclub.org. And again, the San Diego and Imperial Counties chapter of the Sierra Club can be found at sandiego.sierraclub.org. And also the Tree Huggers International 2010 Voters Guide, including recommendations on this year's slate of California propositions and key races, will soon be online at treehuggersintl.com, along with all of these websites, treehuggersintl.com. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you're welcome to email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, go to the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. And you can also find a link to the Tree Huggers International website via the FM 94.9 website. Just go to fm949sd.com. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT FM 94.9 in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wilderness, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and be well.